Hi, and welcome to Show Tunes with me, Kate Botello. Coming up tonight, cats in far-flung places, a bit of the Bard, and we throw some love to the intrepid Broadway chorus. Tonight, we'll feature the original vinyl recording of Cats, Andrew Lloyd Webber's smash 1982 musical based on the works of T.S. Eliot. Cats ran for an astonishing 7,485 performances at the Winter Garden Theater. After that, we'll keep in feline form with music from The Lion King, which could catch up at around 6,700 performances. It's still one of the top-selling shows on Broadway. Lights are dimming in our virtual house, so it's time to start the show. Here's the overture to Cats.
On the the sun. There is more to see than can ever be seen, or to do than can ever be done. There is far too much to take in here, or to find than can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round. It's a
was The Circle of Life from The Lion King by Elton John and Tim Rice. Before that, the overture to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats. You probably know that The Lion King is a reimagining of an animated Disney movie. The Disney movie was loosely based on the plot of William Shakespeare's Hamlet. It's probably no surprise that Shakespeare shows up in musicals a lot. Up next, three wildly different musicals, all based on the Bard. First, an introduction to the Renaissance from Something Rotten, which is a big hit with audiences right now. Then we'll take a visit to the Vinyl Vault for a kicky Shakespearean samba from the 1971 best musical, Two Gentlemen of Verona. And finally, from Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate, a reminder to keep up on our literary studies.
War of the Roses, Chaucer's tales, the brutal feudal system, Holy Crusades, bubonic plague, can't say that we've really missed them. So dark and barbaric, so dull and mundane, that was so Middle Ages, that was so Charlemagne. Welcome to the Renaissance, with poets, painters, and bon vivants, and merry minstrels who stroll the streets of London, a-strumming their lutes
in puffy pants and pointy leather boots.
Welcome to the Renaissance, where we ooh and ah you with ambiance. We're so progressive,
the latest and the greatest, we bring it to you
with much ado.
Welcome to the Renaissance,
where everything is new. modern flair.
See us in our petticoats and farthingales,
our trendy beards we trim to look like swallowtails. We're called Elizabethans,
they're all a bunch of heathens.
Heathens headed straight for you know where.
While witches are burning and wars tend to start, we bring you moments of culture and art.
Culture and art.
Chicken.
What's he making?
Well, I think he's found a way of freezing meat.
That's new.
Hey, look, it's Walter Raleigh. Found a new world, by golly.
And he's brought us all tobacco. What a treat.
Also new.
And we have a list of writers who were always writing something new.
It's true, we do.
Like who?
Like who? Like Decker.
Woo!
John Webster.
Woo!
Ben Johnson.
Apply alimentary canal, aye, aye, aye. He said his legs bestrid the ocean, his reared arm crested the world. His voice was property to all the tuned spheres and that to friends. But when he meant to quail and shake the orb, he was as rattling thunder. For his bounty, there was no winter in it, and autumn twas that grew the more by reaping. His delights were dolphin-like. They showed his back upon the elements he lived in. In his livery walked crowns and crownets. Realms and islands were as coins are dropped from his pockets.
Yes. Oh, no, she didn't. She said...
Today in society go for classical poetry, so to win their hearts one must quote with ease Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all who will start 'em simply raving is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare, start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow.
Just declaim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a hell of a fella.
If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what Tony told Cleopatra.
If she fights when her clothes you are mussing,
what a clothes much ado about nothing. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. With the wife of the British ambassador, try a crack out of Troilus and Cressida.
If she says she won't buy it or take it, make her take it what's more as you like it.
If she says your behavior is heinous,
kick her right in the cordialanus.
Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow. Thinkst thou, and they'll all kowtow. Of Spotkins all kowtow.
Hired goons Harry Clark and Jack Diamond gently suggested you brush up your Shakespeare. Frank O'Brien and Norman Matlock chickaboomed Thurio's Samba from Two Gentlemen of Verona. Minstrel Michael James Scott and the cast of Something Rotten welcomed us to the Renaissance. Just a reminder that Shakespeare is everywhere. Kiss Me, Kate won the first ever Tony Award for Best Musical in 1949. The recording you heard came from our vinyl vault, where we keep the rare record albums we use on the show. The recordings were a gift from a generous donor, and we thank him for helping us make sure they're not forgotten. We'll stay in the 1940s for our next couple of pieces. Rodgers and Hart's Pal Joey first opened on Broadway in 1940 and was revived for the production we'll hear on our vinyl recording from 1952. Then we'll hear from a revival of the 1941 psychoanalytical musical comedy Lady in the Dark by Kurt Weill and Ira Gershwin.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. And the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers of friends.
Used to hate to go to school. I never cracked a book. I played the hook. Never answered any mail. To write, I used to think, was wasting ink. It was never my endeavor to be too clever and smart.
Once was a girl named Jenny, whose virtues were varied and many, excepting that she was inclined always to make up her mind. And Jenny points a moral with which you cannot quarrel, as you will find.
Who's Jenny? Never heard of Jenny. Jenny is out of place.
But I am sure the caller find Jenny is immortal and has a bearing on this case.
As for instance?
Well, for instance, Jenny made her mind up when she was three. She herself was going to trim the Christmas tree. Christmas Eve she lit the candles, tossed the tapers away. Little Jenny was an orphan on Christmas Day.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
She lost one dad and mother, a sister and a brother, but she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up when she was 12 that into foreign languages she would delve. But at 17 at Farsi it was quite a blow, that in 27 languages she couldn't say no.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
To Jenny and the whole golden, but she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 22. To get herself a husband was the thing to do. So she got herself all dolled up in her satins and furs. She got herself a husband, but he wasn't hers.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
Deserved a bed of roses, but history discloses that she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 39. She would take a trip to the Argentine. She was only on vacation, but the Latins agree. Jenny was the one who started the good neighbor policy.
Poor Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
Oh, passion doesn't vanish in Portuguese or Spanish, but she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 51. She would write her memoirs before she was done. The very day her book was published, history relates, there were wives who shopped their husbands in some 33 states.
Ooh, Jenny, bright as a penny, her equal would be hard to find.
She could give cards of spades to many of the ladies, but she would make up her mind. Jenny made her mind up at 75. She would live to be the oldest woman alive. But gin and rum and destiny played funny tricks, and poor Jenny kicked the bucket at 76.
Jenny points a moral, with which you can't quarrel, makes a lot of common sense.
Jenny and her saga prove that you are gaga if you don't keep sitting on a fence.
Jenny and her story point the way to glory, to all men and womankind.
Anyone with vision comes to this decision. Don't make up, you shouldn't make up, you must make up, or never make up.
Anyone with vision comes to this decision.
Rize Stevens sang us The Saga of Jenny from the 1963 revival of Lady in the Dark. Harold Lang and Beverly Feight sang I Could Write a Book from a 1952 studio cast recording of the Pal Joey revival. House lights are coming back up, so it's time for intermission, where it's finally bright enough to read the program after you post a picture of it on Twitter. For tonight's intermission, we'll visit the cast of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats in some far-flung places. Some shows go beyond Broadway to become international hits, and they're often translated so they'll make sense to non-English-speaking audiences. We thought you might enjoy hearing some familiar music in what may be an unfamiliar tongue. So, here's one of the biggest hit songs from Cats, The Rum Tum Tugger, sung in German.
Gibt es Ente zu essen, dann will ich nur ganz. Hast du gerade keine Zeit, will ich unbedingt zu dir. Doch nimmst du dir für mich Zeit.
Here's a verse in Russian.
Выдаёте мне шницель, я хочу антрикот. Я на крышу заберусь и уже спускаюсь вниз. Ну а только слезу.
Now here's the Rum Tum Tugger in Korean, sung here by Daesung Kang, who, at 19, may be the youngest person ever to play that powerful cat. It's fitting, though. Daesung is a big star in the K-pop music scene. Oh, that's what the kids are calling the Korean pop music these days. That Rum Tum Tugger gets around. If you have a favorite international recording of a Broadway musical, let us know. Send an email to ipr@interlochen.org. And because just one verse of this guy isn't nearly enough, here's Terrence Mann, the first Rum Tum Tugger, singing his whole song to his adoring feline fans in English.
If you offer me pheasant, I'd rather have grouse. If you put me in a house, I would much prefer a flat. If you put me in a flat, then I'd rather have a house. If you set me on a mouse, then I only want a rat. If you set me on a rat, then I'd rather chase a mouse. Sit. And there isn't any need for me to shout it,
for he will do as he do do.
And there's no doing anything about it.
The Rum-Tum-Trugger is a terrible bore.
Oh, will you let me in? Then I want to go out. I'm always on the wrong side of every door. As I'm at home, then I like to get about. I like to lie in a bureau drawer. But I make such a fuss if I can't get out.
The Rum-Tum-Trugger is a curious cat.
And there isn't any need for you to doubt it.
For he will do as he do, do.
And there's no doing anything about it. My disobliging ways are a matter of a habit. If you offer me fish, then I always want a feast. When there isn't any fish, then I won't eat rat. If you offer me cream, then I sniff and sniff. For I only like what I find for myself. So you catch me in it right up to my ears if you put it away on a lot of shelf. When you laugh in the middle of your sewing, well, there's nothing I enjoy like a horrible muddle. Need for me to spout it.
For he will do as he do, do.
And there's no doing anything about it.
There's no doing anything about the Rum Tum Tugger, otherwise known as Terrence Mann, from the original 1982 Broadway cast of Cats. Lights are flickering now in our virtual lobby, so it's time to get back to the show for Act Two. Now, we've talked about a few long-running shows tonight, but most shows, no matter how great, close. We open Act Two with a great show that, despite winning 4 Tonys, including Best Musical, is set to close on Broadway on January 17th. Do not despair. A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder is currently on tour and may be coming to a theater near you, and you can hear this next number in person. Monty Navarro hopes to attain the rank of Lord Montague Dicequith by removing inconvenient relatives between him and the title. One such obstacle is Lady Hyacinth Dicequith. She's a well-meaning noblewoman seeking a suitably tragic charity upon which to bestow her largesse before one of her friends beats her to it. Monty is only too ready to help with all sorts of dangerous ideas.
If I'm ever to show my face in society again, I've got to find a new cause of my own. And quickly. Come, come. Any ideas?
Daisy Greville has the old.
Lady Sidwell has the blind.
And the fund for sailors' widows.
That's the two of them combined.
Night school for the nervous.
Lady Beach and Margaret Guest.
Crutches for the crippled.
That was Elsie Pond's bequest.
Wayward women.
Daisy Greville.
Who's behind his figured men.
Daisy Greville.
And the deaf. Don't tell me. It's Greville yet again. Everyone's got something, can't you see why I'm bereft? I want to do some good, but what the devil's left?
What the devil's left?
If I may, your ladyship, one hears about such terrible poverty in Egypt these days.
Egypt? Land? Of the pharaohs and of Moses the Israelite, home to the great pyramids and the Sphinx. That's it. We'll populate an orphanage in Cairo with foundlings from the reeds along the Nile to watch a creature grow, to swaddle it and know the joy of its pathetic little smile.
Its little
the
smile.
News will travel soon enough to London.
To London.
Our selflessness will meet with great acclaim. The sniping will be stilled and the empire will be filled with homes for bastard children in my name. All aboard the Luxor Express to Cairo!
And off she went. What I'd failed to tell her was that a violent uprising against the Empire was imminent, and no British citizen was considered safe. So you can imagine my surprise when Lady Hyacinth returned to London quite unharmed.
Where will my largesse be truly appreciated? I need a place so low that hope itself has been abandoned.
You've heard, of course, of the Untouchables in India?
India, land of Hindus and Muslims, of tamarind and saffron, exotic and unknowable. That's it. We'll find ourselves some lepers in the Punjab. They're hopeless and the wretched and the cursed. Forgotten and unblessed.
Unblessed,
I'll take them to my breast.
Your breast.
If Daisy Greville doesn't get there first, when we arrive, they'll hobble out to greet us.
Hello there.
Their toothless grins would melt a heart of stone.
Oh.
And every dilettante will envy me and want a colony of lepers of her own. Now, not a word to even your mothers to believe. What is the point of helping others unless you let the whole world know? Call the Times of London!
And off she went. I'd neglected to mention the malaria pandemic in the Punjab, a bit of insurance in case leprosy itself failed to prove contagious. So you can imagine my shock when Lady Hyacinth returned to London in record time, quite the picture of health. I don't suppose you'd be willing to penetrate the jungle of deepest, darkest Africa.
Africa. From Zululand to Yoruba, home of proud warriors, their naked torsos rippling in the firelight. We civilize a village in the jungle.
The jungle!
It can't take long to learn their mother tongue.
Non-tongue!
Of words they have but six, and five of them are clicks. And all of them are different words for dung. Oh, can't you see their frightful painted faces?
Their faces!
They'll teach us how to swing from vine to
vine. From vine to vine to vine!
It's Daisy Greville's loss. She'll never come across a tribe of backward natives worse than mine.
The Hottentots and Pygmies may appall us,
but even they are part of God's design.
Oh.
We bid you all goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let all of London try to find a tribe of natives worse than mine. Charity toward others is dear.
Goodbye, 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 goodbye.
Jonathan Mayes plays the surprisingly long-lived Lady Hyacinth and every other member of the Dicequith family in A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. Bryce Pinkham has high hopes for the cannibals. If you're seeing A Gentleman's Guide on tour or in any Broadway house at this time of year, you may see cast members with little red buckets roaming around. They're raising money for the charity Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. Gypsy of the Year is awarded to the show that ends up with the most plentiful bucket. Now, the award ceremony is in the form of a competitive variety show that happens later in the year. So if you see the bucket, pitch in or give online at BroadwayCares.org. And go see the show in December. It's really cool. Now, Gypsy is a term used on Broadway for the hard-working members of the chorus, many of whom troop from show to show for years. Up next from our vinyl vault, a couple of shining examples of gypsies, future and past. First, the classic Blow, Gabriel, Blow from the 1962 off-Broadway revival of Anything Goes. Then, retired Corrines and the ghosts of their younger selves do one of their old routines, Who Is That Woman? From Stephen Sondheim's 1971 Follies. Speaking of Follies, a famous producer of Follies is also the answer to last week's trivia question, who was the producer who realized Showboat was the show of a lifetime? Answer? Florence Ziegfeld.
There's a good lesson for you, sinners. Search your hearts. Sign off with Satan and tune in with heaven. Where will you stand on the day of glory? Do you hear that playing?
Yes, we hear that playing.
Do you know who's playing?
Now who is that playing?
Well, it's Gabriel, Gabriel playing. Gabriel, Gabriel saying, will you be ready to go when I blow my horn? Blow, Gabriel, blow. Come on and blow, Gabriel, blow. I've been a sinner, I've been a scamp, but now I'm willing to trim my lamp. So blow, Gabriel, blow. Oh, I was low, Gabriel, low. Mighty low, Gabriel, low. But now that I've seen the light, I'm goodbye day and I'm goodbye night. So blow, Gabriel, blow. Once I was headed for hell. Once I was headed for hell. Blowing on your horn once more, so I said Satan farewell, and now I'm all ready to fly, yes, to fly higher and higher, 'cause I've gone through brimstone and I've been through the fire, and I purge my soul and my heart too, so climb up the mountaintop and start to blow, Gabriel, blow, come on and blow. Play all day in the promised land. So blow, Gabriel, blow. Get up, you scamps. Get up, you sinners. You're all too full of expensive dinners. Stand up on your feet and sing.
Blow, Gabriel, blow. Gabriel, blow. Gabriel, blow. Gabriel,
I've been a sinner. I've been a scamp. Now I'm ready to trim my lamp. So blow.
On your horn once more, so I said, Satan, farewell.
Satan, you stay away from me, 'cause you ain't the man I wanna see. I'm gonna be good as the day I was born, 'cause I heard that man with the horn. Yeah!
Hit it, baby. Who's that woman? I know her well. All decked out, head to toe. She lives life like a carousel. Bow after bow after bow. Nightly, daily, always laughing gaily. Seems I see her everywhere I go. Oh, who's that woman? I know, that woman so clever, but ever so sad. Love, she said, was a fad. The kind of love that she could make fun of, she'd have none of. Who's that woman, that cheery, weary woman who's dressing for yet one more spring? Each day I see her pass in my looking glass. Lord, 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 that woman is me.
Mary McCarty and the Chorus of Follies wondered, who is that woman? And Eileen Rogers led the Gypsies in Blow, Gabriel, Blow from Anything Goes. Originally written in 1930, this was the 1962 revival. And now, one more piece of love to throw to Gypsies everywhere. This is an ode to one very special type of chorus member from Marcy Heisler and Zena Goldrich. Here's The Alto's Lament.
I've had much good luck as a performer. I've been cast in almost every show. From Carousel to Hair, on Broadway I was there, but you'd never, never know. Perhaps you picked me out last year in Phantom, or underneath my dirt in Miserable. But if you tried to pick me out from all those voices in the crowd, I'm certain that you must have had a problem. My plight is quite familiar to those who tread the morns at the Niederlander, Schubert, and Rialto. And though I've got a great high, the reaction seems to be, well, that's great, dear, but we need you singing alto. Please give me a chance silvery moon. Just one little shot at the melody. Give me a moment to shine. I'm sick of, can't help loving that man of mine. Just look at Oklahoma, for example. The rousing title number of the show. While everyone is singing Oklahoma, I get sky. Yo-ho! And now a medley of my finer roles. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Three little maids from school are we.
Marcy Heisler just wants to sing the melody for once in a song she co-wrote with Zena Goldrich, The Alto's Lament. We're coming to the end of tonight's show, so it's time for our finale, which, like our overture and intermission, is from the original Broadway album of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats.
You've heard of several kinds of cat, and mine opinion now is that you should need no interpreter to understand our character. You've learned enough to take the view that cats are very much like you. You've seen us both at work and games and learned about our proper names, our habits and our habitat. But how would you address a cat? So first your memory I'll jog and say a cat is myself, I do not hold with that. I say you should address a cat, but always bear in mind that he resents familiarity. You bow and take in dress him in this form, O cat. Before a cat will condescend to treat you as a trusted friend,
some little token of esteem is needed like a dish of cream. And you might now and then supply some caviar or Strasbourg pie, some parted grouse or salmon paste. He's sure to have his personal taste. And so in time you'll reach your aim and call him by his name.
That was our finale, Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Addressing of Cats. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the house lights come back up as we end this week's episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Michael Culler engineered the show. Sally Isley is our executive producer. We'd love to hear your musical theater stories and requests on our comment line at 231-276-4444. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.